Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
So, you know, in the last few weeks, those of you who have been here, Pastor Richard, and then last week, Ivy was speaking about the story of Ruth. How many of you had a chance to read through that? A couple, a few. Good. If you've been paying attention, the story of Ruth is about a woman, Naomi, which was her mother-in-law. She had a husband and two sons. And this is just by way of review while you're giving your offerings. I don't want to distract anybody from their offering worship. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I paid mine online last, the night before last, yeah. But the story of Ruth is kind of exciting, and in a minute I'm going to have you stand. We're going to read a scripture. But the story of Ruth is about Naomi, who was her mother-in-law. Naomi had two sons. Ruth was married to one of them. And Naomi's husband died, and then both her sons died. And the one thing that makes some of this have some really big significance is that they lived in one country, and they weren't doing so well over there, so they moved to another country, and that's when everything went left. That's when her husband died and the two sons died. So now, Ruth was, I don't want to speak for her, but there's enough stuff in scripture that lets us know that Ruth was looking out for her daughters. And I think it would have been something like this. And this is not my opinion, this is kind of true. That Ruth got all of her family, Naomi got her family, her husband, Elimelech, and they all went to another country to get provision. So, you know, they came from Texas up to Portland, Oregon to work in the stockyards or something to make some money. You know what I mean? And when they got up here, then after a while, things didn't go so well. And they were in a foreign country. So all their people were back in Texas. Okay? Just work with me. And when they came here, then things got bad. So they didn't have any family around them. They didn't have any friends. And I know, because when I first got married, I lived in Texas, actually. And my wife's parents were from Pittsburgh, and my folks were from Seattle and New York, and we were kind of like stranded in Texas. We didn't have no help. We had kids. And you know how it is when you're trying to go, hey, Mom, can you come babysit for a minute? They didn't have none of that stuff. So that's kind of where they were. And then Naomi's husband died, and then Ruth and her husband died. And they decided, Naomi decided, hey, you know what? I brought y'all out here, so y'all go on back to your country and figure it out. That's what she was saying. And Ruth was like, oh, no. You didn't bring me out here. I know the gods that my country serves are horrible. Your God is the true and living God. I want to hang out with you. Amen. So she went back to Ruth and said, no, I'm not leaving. Wherever you go, I'm going. The blessing's on your people. She's smart enough to figure that out, which is something that hardly comes through in the scripture very much. But Ruth figured that out. So that's why she said, I'm not going back. Wherever you go, I'm going. You got the blessing of God on you. So I want to stick with that. So can we all stand? We're taking up the story from the third chapter. And we're going to all read together. It won't be responsive. Hopefully y'all have the same version I have. New King James. Here we go. All together. Ready? Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, he is not our relative. In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. Let's pray. Father, we know that when we read your word that you have golden nuggets, you have truth for us to glean, to understand. You have something you want to say to us today. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you will help us to hear the voice of the Lord, the things you're saying to us that we as individuals and collectively that we need to hear. I pray it in Jesus' name. I bind all the things of the enemy that would distract us from hearing your voice. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you'll be with us today as we look into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So many of you know I grew up on the East Coast in New York City, where the water in the summertime is warm, unlike the coast here. The water is swimming warm. It's worthy of swimming in. And I was about 9 or 10 years old, and my father, we would say he was a fish. He loved water. He loved to swim. And so we went to the beach, and I think it was on a July 4th. And just imagine, if you will, looking at a white sandy beach, huge beach, and you can't see anything on that beach except people, blankets, and chairs, and no sand. You can't see any sand. Every step that you take, there's somebody there. It was packed. But for some reason, there was no waves in the water. Now, on the East Coast, the waves come in and they break pretty nice. You know, they could be 15 feet high. We used to get a group of people and we'd all hold hands, maybe 20 or 30 of us. And when the wave would come, we would all jump together and hold on. And we had a lot of fun. This particular day, my dad was a good swimmer. And I was halfway decent swimmer. And I kind of was in the place where I knew that wherever he was, I was supposed to be in front of him. So if he was over here, I was over here, and the shoreline is there. And so I'm swimming and playing around, and I always keep my eye wherever daddy's at. So I'm a few feet in front of him. I'm good. And we're playing around, swimming, and all of a sudden there was no waves. Now, for those of you who know how to jump waves and swim in the water, the topography goes like this. And it goes down. But the waves will keep you above the water. You might not be able to stand in that water, but you could certainly float in that water. And eventually a good wave will come and you just get on that wave and go on back. So that's what I was doing all day. But there was a strong undertow and not very many waves. So as we went in and out, we kept going further out and further out and further out. And I remember my older sister was at the shore, and she was looking at us, and she said, Paul, come on back in. Daddy, come on in. And someone had already had a drowning incident. And so the lifeguards were poised. They were, you know, but like I said, there's people everywhere. So if the lifeguard's standing on a chair and he has to get out there, it ain't going to be easy. So next thing I know, there were no waves to come back in on. And I went to touch ground, and there wasn't any ground. I said, whoop, and I came back up, and I went down again, and my sister was looking at me with this horrified look on her face. She said, Paul, come in. I was like, I'm trying. And I went down again, and next thing I know, I'm flailing in the water, trying to get me some air. And I looked back, and my dad was back there, and he wasn't doing too much better. And then my sister told, lifeguards, my brother and my father are drowning. Get out there. Those dudes hit the water. 4 guys from my dad. Now, those of you who don't know my dad, he was 6'3", probably about 275, 300 pounds. He's a big man. And there was 4 lifeguards for him and 2 for me. So as as they came, I was like, well, if they got dad, I can get back. He's further out than me. But, you know, and I kept thinking, I'm going to be all right. And the guy got to me, and I'm still trying to swim. And he said, relax, son. And I'm, relax. And then he just let me go. And I went down. I came back up. And he said, relax. And I was like, and then he put his arm around me somewhere, and I felt him holding me, and he said, relax, I got you, just relax. And then the other guy, he was on the other side. And I'm a little kid, why does it take two grown men to hold me? But thank God, they got me out the water, and I didn't drown because I'm here now, amen? But the story, that story illustrates a huge point. Some of you already know what I'm going to say. It's a word that we have trouble with sometime. It's called submission. Submit. Now, when the guy was holding me, he just said, relax, because I was about to hurt him. You know, you ever seen some of them old movies where somebody's hysterical and the person comes up to them, they slap them in the face? They whack them good. Y'all ever seen that? Calm down. And sometimes God has to do that to us to get us to pay attention. So submission. Now, some of you women, I know, are thinking, oh, he better not go there. So I'm going to take a gulp of water. Because I am going there. And some of you men, submit. I don't submit to nobody. I'm a man. I'm a grown man. Some of y'all put some other words in between grown and man. You can't tell me what to do. Well, see, if you were in my position in that water when the lifeguards came, you wouldn't be grown then. If you're a woman thinking about how you can control your own destiny and everybody's told you who you can be, you can be in charge, you can have it all. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to set you free. I'm here to set you free. Let me tell you why. I thought my mom was a pretty great woman. She never worked until I was probably in the fourth grade or something. Consider the fact that that would have made her be in past her 40s when she first worked. The rest of the time, she took care of our home. And my mother was a good homemaker and a good mom. In fact, we'd rather get a whipping from my dad, who was huge, and my mom was 4'10". I'd rather get a whipping from him than her. And you know what? She just had to look at you one way and say something, and you got the message. You know what I'm saying? She was a good mom. And she worked after a while. But the point is, it's not whether you work or you don't work, or if you're a housewife, you have a career. None of that. Submission is what it's about. Because when you're drowning, you don't really care about titles, do you? Hello? Do you? I mean, if somebody comes to did you have your lifeguard certificate? Do you ask that? No, you don't. So the story in Ruth is that Ruth was a submitter. She submitted to Naomi. And that's why I had you read these few verses. In verse 5, it says, and she said to her, Ruth said to Naomi, all that you say to me, I will do. There's her submission. She was given instructions throughout this whole story. And you should go back and read it. I have 15 pages of notes about things that you could learn from her story, that we could learn, but we don't have enough time today. So it's just the word submission. I want to read you what the definition of it. It says, so you can understand a little better what it really means, not what you think it means. The definition of submission, this is by any dictionary, it would say it's a noun, and it's accentuated by the idea of accepting authority. The act of accepting the power or authority of someone else. Here's an example. We raised our arms in submission. Some of y'all did that this morning when you were worshiping God. Was that a bad thing? And nobody told you to lift up your hands. You just did it. I know I did. If somebody comes in and tells me that the King of Kings of the whole universe, the creator of the whole universe came in here, I know my hands would go right up. In fact, I'd bow down. I would honor him because he created me and all the other living, everything. every good and perfect gift comes from God. So I don't have a problem with that definition. There's a second definition. It says giving something, the act of offering something for a decision to be made by others or the thing that is offered. Here's an example. The films were chosen from 350 submissions. So you submitted your application for a job. You submit. That's you giving something. Those are the two definitions of those words, of that word, excuse me. I want to give you an antonym, those of you who remember what that is. The opposite of. The opposite of submission is, get ready, rebellion or defiance. Now I'm putting it in the context. There's submission, there's rebellion and defiance. And usually what occurs when we say that word is some rebellion comes up. Naomi found herself in some difficult situations. As I said, her husband died, then her sons died. She had two daughters, one was Ruth. And Ruth was now in a position to either be blessed or not. If she submitted to the thing she was told, blessings were going to happen, even if she didn't know it. When we look at the story in hindsight, we can see that all the good things that happened as a result of her submission. But you know what I thought about? Why do people get the cockles up on, why do we get all attitudinal when someone says that word? These are my thinking. This is what I think. I think we get upset, and I'm speaking with myself in this, because I think that I know more than the person who is in authority. That's the reason why, one reason why I don't like authority. Because I think I know more than who's talking to me. How many of you have been in a situation where someone's telling you what to do, and I see them hands going up, and you go, that guy's an idiot. What's he doing in charge? And, you know, it's somewhat true. But I have a challenging thought for you. God is not that guy. He's not the idiot. He created all of us. He knows everything about you. He knows how much hair you do or don't have on your head. He's the one that created your life. He's the one that put gifts and purposes in your life so you could be and do something according to what he designed you for. So I can't say that he's an idiot or he doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, some of us act like God doesn't know what he's talking about. And I'll prove it to you. How many of you, when you were kids, and your mom said, don't put your hand on the stove? How many of you did it? Come on. I remember I was told, don't put your finger in the socket. But you know what? My inquisitive little mind, we had a little lamp in our room that fell over, and the shade broke, and the bulb was sitting there naked, and somebody kicked it over, and then it broke, and it broke inside the thing, so we couldn't take it out. So I was real handy, so I got a pliers, and I put it in there, and I don't know what makes electricity do whatever it does. I just know I'm about 3 years old. I'm going to handle this mess, and I started screwing it, and I almost got it out. And then, you know, I felt a little something, but it was the light bulb glass or the wire sticking me. But I actually got it out. Mind you, the plug was still plugged in and the lamp was switched on. So then I was like, why do they keep telling me not to put my fingers in? Nothing happened. I stick my finger right in the middle. Nothing happens. But on the way out, my hand touched the ring around the side and I was like, see, that's what we do with God. God, I know you said don't, but I just have to stick my finger in the socket. And you could change that. God told you, don't marry that guy. He's not saved. Or don't marry that girl. He's not saved. Oh, I'm going to lead her to God. Or I'm going to lead him to God. And we marry him and...
Yeah.
And you know who's behind that? The devil. He's paying you back for believing him. Because a lot of times we believe the lie that he told us. You don't have to do that. Just do what you want to do. Nobody can't tell you what to do. Y'all know people like that, don't you? Look in the mirror. Okay, no. And you just think that you believe that little devil talking to you. You can make it on your own. You don't have to listen to God. He don't know what he's talking about. Look, there's so many people Christians getting divorced, so it can't be true. That's a lie. And then when you stick your finger in the socket and marry that guy or that girl and things don't go right, the devil goes and makes you pay over and over again. And I'm not exaggerating. He makes you pay for listening to him. Because the devil's whole purpose is to mess you up. Amen? Can I get an amen?
Amen?
So when we talk about submission, God's asking you to obey what he already has for you, which is a blessing. Not cursing, but blessing. So one of the reasons why we resist authority is because we know more than the person who's in authority. Another reason that we have a problem with authority is because we have been taken advantage of, so we lack trust. Now, I asked the question earlier, how many of you know somebody who's in charge, they don't belong in charge? And we all raised our hands, pretty much everybody knows somebody, you've been in a situation. And so, because that person messed up, then you think anybody who's in charge is gonna mess up. That's another lie from the devil. Because everybody's not the same. And most importantly, God is not like anyone else. God is a good God. Y'all hear this all the time, but he is. The Bible says that God is the giver of all good gifts. Every perfect gift comes from the Father above, with whom there's no shadow of turning. A translation is that he's not different tomorrow. If he said that he was going to do something, he'll do it. His word is something you can count on. God doesn't change. Well, you know what? The sun ain't shining today, so you ain't getting no love. That's not how God is. But there are people in our lives and relationships and all that who take advantage of the trust that they've been given. So that's a reason why you should feel a little bit gun-shy about trusting people. I get that. But again, the devil's always doing that to mess you up. And the other reason that we have a problem with submission is because we are by nature rebellious. Now I'm talking straight to you. I know some people will think that I'm being hard and, you know, he don't know what he's talking about. Believe me, I have marks on my body to prove that I know what I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about from my parents spanking me or nothing like that. I'm talking about from my own disobedience. I have marks in my body. I have marks in my heart from disobeying God. And I can tell you, y'all all got marks. How many of you have some marks? That's the reason why you shouldn't be rebellious. It's real simple. The Bible says that the sin of rebellion is like witchcraft. Let me break that down a little bit. When you decide that you're just gonna not do what you've been told to do because you don't want to do it, it's not because the person telling you is, or the God telling you that, it's not because he's not trustworthy, it's not because it sounds crazy or anything, you just don't want to submit. It's your flesh. Some of you don't know what that means. It's the part of your nature that riles up and tells you that you are the man or you are the woman and that you know more than God. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. They believed the lie and they lost out. But it's part of our sin nature. And that's what we have to crucify. The Bible says, Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. So I'm not trying to do what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do what he wants me to do. And crucify means to put it on the cross and put a nail in it. Hurt that stuff. Hurt your flesh. Discipline yourself. That's a word we can't use today. Discipline? Oh, no, we can't discipline our kids. Oh, no, we'll hurt them if we do that. We don't want them to ruin. We want them to experience everything, including death and destruction and the lack of boundaries. It produces death. This is strong stuff. You ain't shouting right now. It's okay. It's okay. But I'm telling you from my own personal experience and the experience of the scripture and the experience of many others. When rebellion has free reign, it leads to death. So here's the scripture. The wages, the benefits of sin is death. Let me say it another way. The wages of sin is death. The benefits that you get from disobedience is death. You know, if you work hard all day, and at the end of the day, you go to your boss and say, hey, man, I worked 8 hours plus my lunch hour, I expect a paycheck. So you could go to the devil and say, hey, devil, I was rebellious all day today. I want my paycheck. And he's going to go, death is yours, my brother, my sister. You can have it because that's what you're doing. You're getting paid back for your rebellion. And if you think of it that way, maybe we will think twice about saying no to God because the results of what we get are not good. Can anybody connect with what I'm saying? So my goal this morning is not to beat you into submission. It's to encourage you into submission. Because the devil has already beat you into submission. He's convinced you to disobey God, so you've submitted. And out of that submission comes death. Well, I'm offering you life. I'm offering you another opportunity to change the way things go. You don't have to die or you don't have to pay the consequences. And one good thing I love, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we sin, and it probably should say when we sin, he is faithful. If we ask for forgiveness, he's faithful and just to forgive us from all our sin and clean us up from our righteousness. And then he puts us back into right standing, a right relationship with God. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to review this one more time. Someone in authority in our lives has disappointed us, but I got good news. God never fails. There's a song we used to sing, and I remember it when I was a kid. It said, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Earth and heaven may pass away, but Jesus never fails. And I didn't know what that meant. And then when I got older, I realized that, number one, God really loves me. Me. Not you. Not that y'all not important. And he does love you. But when you realize that he loves you, it's different. It's different. Let me say it this way. All of us want to be loved. And we've heard the story that God loves everybody. Right? And when we're living life, the devil convinces us that God really doesn't love us, or else these things wouldn't be happening to you. Anybody been in there? And that's a lie. Things are happening to you because of a lot of reasons, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. For example, if I decide right now to step out over here and break my leg, is that God's fault? Because I can see right down there that, and based on the scale this morning, when I got on it, that if I step down there, it's going to be a long haul and I'm going to hurt. So that's not God's fault. That's my fault. Now, there's some other times when you didn't step out and do nothing, but something was done to you. And because the devil is in people, he uses them to do stuff to people. And so somebody did something to you. Somebody molested you. Somebody cheated you. Somebody beat you up. Somebody did something to you. Somebody took away something from you that you should have had. We all have the story. But I have good news. God came to redeem you from the curse of the law of sin and death. So you don't have to stay there with, you don't have to be a victim either. There's some of us walking around with PhD robes on us. And the PhD is for the degree in victimization. We've been done stuff to so much, we wear it with a, you know, I've been going through. I'm not gonna. Some of us have done it. Believe me, I did it. I wanted to feel pity one day, and the people I was talking to, they just looked at me like, are you crazy? And I had a good reason, too. My wife was in the hospital. It was an emergency. She might not live, and my baby that she was carrying might not live. And it was a big deal. And I went to my church because I had a meeting there, and I saw the pastor, and he came up to me, and he looked at me, and I said, yeah, you know, Grace is in the hospital. And I started putting on my victim costume, you know, like Superman. I went in the closet. Stuff is happening to me. I need y'all some sympathy. And he looked at me like, and his head tilted, like, you know how dogs look at you when the sound ain't right or something? And he looked at me like, what's wrong with you? You serve a mighty God. What's wrong with you? You can overcome. And he didn't say that, but that's the way he looked at me. And all he did was he shut me off in the middle of my whatever. He put his hands on me. He said, Father, in the name of Jesus. And he started praying the fire of God on me. And then, but that wasn't enough. So later on that day or the next day, I met someone else. And they said the same thing. They looked at me like I was crazy. And then they just ignored what I said. And they began to pray for me. And the third time, I finally got it. You know, three times is a charm. It finally got through the coconut. I do serve a mighty God, and maybe he wants to deliver me. Hallelujah. Maybe I should believe God instead of believing my circumstances. Maybe I should trust God. Maybe I should submit. Maybe I should throw off the lies of the enemy and get victory. And I began to. I remember one of the other pastors, they just came up to me and got on their knees and started praying for my feet. They laid their hands on my feet and they started praying for my feet. And I didn't understand that then, but I understood it later. What they were doing was praying strength into me from the bottom of my feet and from the top of my head down. The pastor was praying one place and they were praying for me to have stable feet. So I did not go to the left nor the right. And then, you know what, 2 weeks of one emergency after another. One time they gave her some medicine, her blood pressure went down to 40 beats per minute or something like that, whatever it was. She almost died. And God gave me strength to overcome. And she didn't die because me and someone else prayed for her. And then somebody else prayed for her. And then the doctor came after the baby was born. Y'all heard the testimony. He said, we're going to have to operate. And I don't know why, but I was like, no, you're not. Because you might mess up when you're in there. And I just said, you know what, I believe God. And he laughed at me. I don't care if you believe in God. If I don't operate, she's going to die. And I said to myself, in the name of Jesus, can y'all hear that? In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. That's what I said. Under my breath. And then I went in there and prayed for her. And the Holy Ghost showed up. I laid my hands on her, and God touched her body. And then 15 minutes later, they took the test, and she was healed. And he had to come back and go. And the doctor came back, and he had to say, we're not going to have to operate on Mr. Greenidge. I don't know what happened. Nanny, nanny, nanny. I know what happened. I serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. It's not too hard to submit. It's not. You know, oxes that pull a cart, the Bible, Jesus said this. So in case you didn't get the picture, Jesus said, my yoke, which is something that you put on, is easy. And my burden is light. And when you submit to me, you're going to be blessed. That's right. And the reason why he used that example, because all of them were farmers, and they knew what ox and yoke, and y'all don't know anything about that unless you were born on a farm, and I didn't know either, but the reason why they have two together is because sometimes one horse or one mule or whatever it is going and he can't make it. But the yoke that's on him will transfer the power from the other ox or mule or whatever it is that's running, and he will pull the weight of the other one. Without the yoke, he just falls off. But with the yoke, the power transfer happens. Jesus is one of those horses for us. And when we put on his yoke, he's always able to overcome. Amen? He overcame every problem that we face. Death, trouble, problems. And he's walking with us to make sure we make it. Just don't get out from under the yoke. Don't stop submitting. Amen? That's the key. Don't stop. Stay with it. I'm almost at the end, y'all. 1 Peter 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's a powerful, comforting scripture to me. Because in our submission, there's no lack. I don't understand any lack when I submit. When the ox is pulling me, I've been pulled. There's been many days, last week, there's been many times in my life when I was under the burden of situations, and the Holy Spirit, through the example of the ox pulling and the yoke being on me, that it was an easy ride because I trusted God. The hardness came when I didn't trust God, when I started trying to get out from under the burden, when I started trying to move away, when I got out from under the yoke. But then I remember, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So Paul said it great. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? He gives grace to the humble. So it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That means submit. Submit. And he will exalt you. Because we always think, if I have to humble myself, someone's going to do something to me, or I'm going to pay a price for being down on my knees. The only price you pay for being down on your knees is that you slay your flesh. That's not a price that's worth paying to bring that into submission. Amen. Here's another good reason. Jeremiah 29:11. God says this about all of us. For I know the thoughts. Another translation says, I know the plans that I think or I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let me read it again. For I know the thoughts or the plans that I have or think toward you. Each one of you, put your name in there. Paul. Put your name in there, Donald. Put your name in there, Karen. Put your name in there, Mona. James, put your name in there. I don't know everybody, but I'm calling you out. Put your name in there. God knows the plans he has for you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. Amen. 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 Glory to God. He's got plans to bless you. So, the last one is Matthew 26:39. And Jesus is the best example of submission. Now, all of us will look at Jesus and say, well, I can't be like him. But let me help you. Jesus said, when he was talking about all the things that he did, he told the disciples and us, greater works shall you do. Put that on for a second. Greater works shall we do than Jesus. So if Jesus can make this example in submission, then we can submit at least as much, if not more. So here it is. It says, he went a little farther and fell on his face. This is right before Jesus was being handed over to be crucified for our sin. And he told the disciples, hey, come and pray with me. And it says, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And they put a semicolon in the scripture here. Nevertheless, not I as I will, but as you will. He submitted to God the Father. Because God said, hey, you're going to be born so you can die. And for 30 years, Jesus was living like everybody else. And then the Holy Ghost came on him. He got baptized, remember, like a dove. And it was then that Jesus started doing miracles and set himself apart from all the people and everybody else around him. That's when he became the Jesus that we know and love. Because he now had the submission to the Father so he could do the will, the purpose that God created him. That's what we're supposed to do. There's a bunch of scriptures that talk about Jesus only doing and saying and hearing whatever God the Father says, that's what I do. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I do. I don't do anything on my own, but just what he says to do. That's a powerful example of what we're to do. Follow what he says to do. And if we do, we're going to come out on top. It says in verse 40, then he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping and he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away, Jesus did. And he prayed saying, oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me, unless I drink it, your will be done. And then he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. You know how it is after you eat. It was like that last night. Okay. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. So somewhere between the first one, when Jesus said, not my will, but your will, I think he tried to get a pass, so he came back again. And he said, Father, let this cup pass. But no, it took him 3 times before. And the third time it says he said it again, but then he submitted to the will of the Father. And so then he goes, hey, y'all still asleep? Come on, it's time to go. I'm ready to move forward with the plans that God has for me. How many of you are ready to move forward with the plans that God has for you? I love that. Many of you raised your hand. And this is the opportunity for you to do it. You might bow your heads with me for a minute. Some of you today have heard something that challenged you, I hope. I hope the Spirit of God pricked your spirit, touched you in such a way that you said, that's me, I need something from God today. It would be that something that the Holy Spirit wants to give you to help you to overcome. All you have to do is admit it, confess it, and then receive by faith the forgiveness that God has for you. I'm going to encourage you to do that right where you sit right now. We're not going to play any music or anything. I don't want you to do it in your mind. I want you to speak it out of your mouth. You can put your hand in front of you so no one hears what you say, but cover your mouth and just speak it quietly. God, forgive me for. Forgive me for not trusting you. Forgive me for not submitting to your will. Forgive me for. And make a decision to step into the light that God has for you, into the blessing that comes from obedience. Don't let the devil trick you into believing that God is trying to harm you. And don't let him shame you away from receiving the life that God has for you right now. The Bible says now is the acceptable time. Not tomorrow, not this afternoon. Don't say, I'll wait till I get home and no one's around. I can really cry out to God. Cry out right now.
Pretend as if you were drowning in the sea. You wouldn't be talking about, I'll wait till tomorrow. You'd be crying out because you need God now. And that's how you ought to think of this. God, I need you now. I need your help now. I need your forgiveness now. I need to change this part of my life now. I need to submit to you in this area now. I need to receive the blessing that you have for me now. Now is the time. Tomorrow's not promised. You might not get another chance. And maybe there's someone in here today who's thinking, you know what, I never did really give my whole life over to God. I never did submit to him. I've only been playing around. Maybe God's, he's talking to you. He's giving you an opportunity for you to confess your sin and receive salvation, the life that comes from him. It's the best thing you can do. It's the best thing you can do. I guarantee you, and there's not a guarantee for much in this world, but I guarantee you that if you ask and believe in your heart for salvation, for forgiveness of sin, that Jesus will in fact forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will wash away your sin, give you a new slate, change your mind, change the direction of your life. Holy Spirit, move among us right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Satan, I rebuke you. I break your yoke over anyone today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Just a few more seconds. Someone needs to confess. Lord, we thank you for this day. And we thank you for showing us how that when we submit to you, that things change. That's not a penalty to submit to you, but it's a blessing. God, I thank you that your plans for us are to give us a hope and a future and to bless us and not to harm us. I thank you that your word has gone forth, and I just pray that there'll be a harvest on it from this moment on in the name of Jesus. If you are one of those people who gave something back to God today, I want you to just raise your hand. Nobody's looking but me. Amen. Thank you. And what we should do now, we're going to go into a time of fellowship in the foyer. We're going to be dismissed to do that. And as we go, I'm going to ask if you like to pray with somebody about that, that the ministry team will come down front. And you can just have some quiet time with the Lord then. If that's not, if you need to say something else, there'll be plenty of us walking around in the foyer that we'd love to talk to you about your experience. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you do all things well. Thank you, Lord, that you have us in mind. Thank you for the things that you're going to do in our hearts as we submit to you this week, today, now. And Lord, I just pray that the enemy would not be allowed any opportunities to steal the word that was planted today. So God, I pray that you'll help us to walk away with a deeper knowledge of what it means to submit to you in every area of our life. I pray for the harvest on that submission, blessing and life and overcoming in Jesus' name. Now bless our time together, Lord, as we share. Let us have divine conversations that bring glory to you, that connect us with one another, that build our strength together as we walk towards you. Bless the food that we're going to partake of. And bless our time together. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. 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 You may be dismissed.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.